time for Stargazing with Astro Dave Renicky from the website davidrenicky.com. Hello, David.
Would not be anywhere else in the universe, Bill. Good morning. How are you?
Anyone who followed your Facebook page would see a nice little present had arrived in the mail. Were you happy with it?
Yeah, not bad. Yeah, look, we get a lot of things here. NASA are very good on a worldwide basis for anyone who's an educator. NASA have their own educators, and I've worked with them and I've seen them. Down in Florida, they do great jobs. They employ women teachers, men teachers to go around to the schools. They supply them with equipment. There's so much that NASA give out and can donate to anyone who does that sort of thing. Well, of course, here in Australia, we're not part of their country, and it's not as easy as it would be if we were American citizens. But yeah, every now and then, when I ask for something like that, they usually do comply and surprise me, and there's big boxes.
If you're in the know, it helps.
Yeah, well, it helps, and there's a, like you're referring to the picture I think I put up on Facebook.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. I've got to ask you a question, though, David, and you've addressed this on davidrenicky.com. Can humans live in space without going crazy? I'm assuming the International Space Station has addressed a lot of this concern.
Yeah. We've been worrying. This has been a concern for a long time. We're eventually going to leave here. We're going to move to Mars. We're going to go to other worlds. We're going to travel in space for a long time. And we've realized that the early astronauts never had the problem we've got now, which is confinement and getting on with each other. So how do human beings, or how are they going to go when they look in the rearview mirror and see Earth fading away to a little blue dot? NASA of the 1960s had no trouble. They were test pilots. These guys only went up and down and came, went home again, same day. Mercury and Gemini missions were about the same, but the Apollo missions were about 3 to 5 days long, and not enough to really stress anybody out. Since 1971, American astronauts and Russians have lived and worked in orbit, so this is where we've realised that being in a confined situation in space does have certain limitations. Your body changes, the bone density changes, your blood changes, and your personality changes too. Russia was the first group, or well, they've got their own space program, who psychologically tried to prepare their crews for long periods of time. And in 1995, they had missions that lasted up to 12 months and a year or so at a time there. Look, there was an issue in 2007. Astronaut Lisa Nowak, one of the mission specialists on the space shuttle program,
I remember her,
was charged with attempted murder. There was a love triangle. So there are things like that that can develop. If they can develop here on planet Earth, how is a crew like this going to survive a trip to Mars?
2 years for Mars, isn't it?
7 months journey there. Ugh. 3 years altogether, yeah. You've got to wait on the planet 12 months before you come back.
Well, that's why they go through this psychological analysis, but that wouldn't weed out everything, though.
No, but here's what they've done. In 2011, Russia conducted isolation studies, and they put people in isolation for 520 days. It's a long time to have the same group of people around you in situations where you can't get up and go for a walk. If you want to communicate with anyone, you've got a 20-minute gap between sending and replying. Now, out of the crew that went there, the four of the six members developed major psychiatric problems. They really became loose cannons, and there were sleep disorders, there was depression as well. So since that time, NASA have been working very hard on this particular problem. And in 2012, they put six people in a cramped quarters condition in an island in Hawaii, and it worked because they did something beforehand that wasn't properly done before.
Yes.
They learned how to psychologically profile their people.
Right.
They learn that you can't prevent conflict in human beings, but you can choose a crew that's strong, tough and resilient when things go wrong. That's what they weren't doing. They were picking people who were educated, who were healthy, but not psychologically prepared for something that went wrong. How do we solve a problem?
Well, I think this is where the military situation comes in. If there's a military hierarchy, usually that can work, can't it?
It can, but it promotes resentment.
Right.
Now, resentment can build up over a period of time. You know yourself, resentment is one of those traits in human beings that's part of us. You can't, and you know, hate, anger, envy, all things that we don't want on a crew, on a mission like that. Well, you're going to have a mixed crew here, and there, you never know, relationships could start up. We've got to make sure that they won't before we go. So the people we choose have got to be able to resolve these issues in situ. While they're there, you can't send an NRMA vehicle up to fix a problem, and you can't send anyone up there to help them out if they've got issues. So what they've done here is to psychologically profile the people, and it's been pretty successful. Look, it's not a cure-all. It's not a fix-all for everything. But boy, oh boy, if you're on a 7 months journey to Mars, you want to make sure that you get your astronauts there, not only physically healthy to do the work there, but also in one piece.
More at davidrenicki.com if you want to investigate that story. Opportunity. NASA's a bit worried after that dust storm in Mars. We've been seeing that, it could be damaged, it needs repairs, what?
Sort of yes and no. This is one of those situations where it's not working, but it might come back. There's been a major dust storm on Mars for a few months now and covered the planet completely. It is clearing, we know that, but what's happened in the meantime is that all of this dust has collected on these solar panels on Opportunity. This is one of the rovers we've had there for about 15 years now, maybe 16 years or so. Now, it can't work because the batteries are flat. It does need those to have the radio working, to have its instruments working.
Yes.
All that dirt and dust on there has stopped the sunlight getting to the solar panels. And on Mars, it's much more severe than what it is here, because Mars is twice as far from the sun that we are. So the amount of energy you're getting there is not as strong. How they fix it, we can't. You've just got to wait this out. What's happened in cases like this before is that it has come good. They're waiting for another little storm to come up, maybe not as severe to blow the dust up, but maybe strong enough to blow off the dust that's on there. They say there's about a 70-30 chance that it might come good. So if it does, we're going to have a rover that's going to continue to work. But if it doesn't, well, it's just going to be another piece of hardware sitting on Mars until we go and pick
Pity
it up.
Pity they didn't invent like a feather duster to sort of, you know, come out of the craft or...
windscreen wipers.
Well, I mean, the windscreen wiper might scratch those solar collectors, but something to brush the dust off. But, how do you make sure that works? It's not really reliable, is it?
Well, no, you can't. And we didn't realise that till we got there. But see, here's something, you know, Mars is an unforgiving world. It's a place where you think, well, look at all the things that are wrong with it. It doesn't have any air. There's radiation is severe, 100%. It'll kill you if you don't have a suit. You can't talk to each other except by radio. You need an oxygen tank all the time. It's all carbon dioxide. The temperature there is minus 50. There's no water on the surface. You think, why the hell would anyone want to go there? Well, it's the only place in the solar system we can call another home.
But that's right.
It's going to be a pretty big ask to try and build it up. And why the dust is on there is because Mars has many, many willy-willies, you know, like you get in the outback.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know whether you've ever been caught in a dust storm, but boy, we were a few years ago in the middle of Queensland in the outback. And boy, I don't want to go through one of those again. It gets in your ears, your nose, your eyes, every orifice of your body.
I thought you might have been worried about losing your toupee, but no.
No, that's stuck on. That's but the opportunity, I think it'll be okay, but at the moment it doesn't work. And what they do to make it make sure it's there and does work is, you're going to like this, it's got a little library of songs on it. They put like your radio station's got your jukebox. You can call up a song whenever you want to, or most do. They send a message out to a little ping. Just ping a message to it. It hasn't replied yet. But when it sends that song back, we'll know that all is good. Probably Major Tom or something.
Hey, you know, we're worried about asteroids hitting the Earth. Apparently there's some circling the globe already we don't even know about.
Been doing that for a long time. These little mini moons, they're called, have been circling the globe for quite a while. But there's been a loss of them now. We don't see as many as we used to, and nobody really understands why. They're basically captured asteroids, Vilko, that have been pulled out by the gravity of the sun. And on their way towards the sun, we've caught them. Our gravity has picked them up. Well, they last for maybe a few days, a few weeks or whatever. But for all intents and purposes, they do become moons, orbiting moons, little mini moons of the Earth there. But in recent years, they've disappeared, and I don't want to know why. They started a study up there to see if the number of them has decreased, and if it has, it's going to make it much better for when we do travel and work in low Earth orbit. So there you go, little moons. If anyone says, how many moons have we got? There could be 20 or 30 up there.
Oh, don't do that in a school exam. You'll crush their hopes, the poor kiddies.
You'll fail. Yep.
More at davidrenicky.com. And, of course, if you want to see any information about Australian rocketry or the TASCO Skywatch or even those real-world globes featuring the planet Mars, all the links are on there right now and also up on the Facebook page. Till next time, David.
I'll be here. I don't know whether you've ever been caught in a dust storm, but boy, we were a few years ago in the middle of Queensland in the outback, and boy, I don't want to go through one of those again. It gets in your ears, your nose, your eyes, every orifice of your body.
I thought you might have been worried about losing your toupee, but no.
No, that's stuck on. That's but the opportunity, I think it'll be okay, but at the moment it doesn't work. And what they do to make it make sure it's there and does work is, you're going to like this, it's got a little library of songs on it. They put like your radio station's got your jukebox. You can call up a song whenever you want to, or most do. They send a message out to a little ping. Just ping a message to it. It hasn't replied yet. But when it sends that song back, we'll know that all is good. Probably Major Tom or something.
Hey, you know we're worried about asteroids hitting the Earth. Apparently there's some circling the globe already we don't even know about.
Been doing that for a long time. These little mini moons, they're called, have been circling the globe for quite a while. But there's been a loss of them now. We don't see as many as we used to, and nobody really understands why. They're basically captured asteroids, Bilko, that have been pulled out by the gravity of the sun. And on their way towards the sun, we've caught them. Our gravity has picked them up. Well, they last for maybe a few days, a few weeks or whatever. But for all intents and purposes, they do become moons, orbiting moons, little mini moons of the Earth there. But in recent years, they've disappeared, and NASA want to know why. They started a study up there to see if the number of them has decreased, and if it has, it's going to make it much better for when we do travel and work in low Earth orbit. So there you go, little moons. If anyone says, how many moons have we got? There could be 20 or 30 up there.
Oh, don't do that in a school exam. You'll crush their hopes, the poor kiddies.
You'll fail. Yep.
More at davidrenicky.com. And, of course, if you want to see any information about Australian rocketry or the TASCO Skywatch or even those real-world globes featuring the planet Mars, all the links are on there right now and also up on the Facebook page. Till next time, David.
I'll be here.